Today, I want to just talk to you about sowing and reaping as we step into 2020. I'm going to start by reading to you from Ephesians chapter 1. For the sake of time, because I see I only have I'm not even going to say how much time I have, because I'm not going to listen to it anyway. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. There's a large portion here that I would like you to take time and read yourself. I'm going to start in 3, then I'm going to jump to verse 15. And I want you to see the connections there. So take time to read the verses in between. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. He's writing to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And by extension, he's writing to us who have believed in Jesus as our Savior. And he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." Okay, I'm going to jump ahead to verse 15. "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." Okay? So I'm going to stop there. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. Let me just say a couple things first. As we've already considered while we were having communion, we who have believed into Jesus are called to come into a mindset that is not in the world. We are not to be those who live as if God has yet to do something. We are to live as those for whom God has done everything necessary. Okay? And it is counterintuitive. I don't deny that. We grow up in an environment where it's very easy to embrace that mindset. Unless I see it, it's not true. Unless I feel it, it can't be so. And God, who has made all things and is perfect in all his wisdom, there is no darkness in him. There is no shadow in him. He is perfectly wise. He tells us, actually, that's not how things really are. Believe me. Believe me. You know, I don't know if anybody's seen, this is not a recommendation, but there is a movie called The Matrix that came out almost 20 years ago now. And in it, there was this concept that the world is the wool pulled over your eyes to keep you from seeing the truth. And that is actually very true from a Christian perspective. God says things that the natural world doesn't seem to confirm. And we are so used to living in this down here place that it is not always easy for us to shift our perspective to what God has said is true. Everything else is not reliable. But the Holy Spirit comes to help us. Okay? But I start by saying, for you and me, we have been blessed. We are the blessed. Not one day God will bless me. Okay? If by that all you mean is one day this blessing that is already mine will manifest in this area, okay, I'm not going to make such a big deal. But I cannot accept the notion that down the road sometime, when either the stars align or you get your act together or whatever it is, then finally God will bless you. That is a diabolical way of thinking, i.e., it is a way of thinking that is energized by the spirit of this place that is opposed to you. And God says, I want you to learn to live as my son, as my daughter. Jesus lived seeing past how things looked, because he loved the Word of God. He loved God and he loved the Word of God. And we who are coming after the firstborn are also called to live that way. Okay? The will of God in saving you is to make you just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. in terms of how he thought, in terms of how he reacted to things, in terms of what his expectations were. Okay? So we are being molded and fashioned to be just like Jesus. And he lived above what his eyes saw, what his ears heard. Let me use a different passage. He will not judge by what his eyes see and by what his ears hear. But he will judge with righteousness. He will judge by what God has said about things. And this is what we are called to. Okay? So I start by saying we are the blessed. Okay? You may or may not have a problem with that, but it's just what he says here. It's not my idea. It's just what he says. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay? Then he goes on in verse 15, in view of this, in view of this extraordinary thing that is true about you, I'm praying. And what is he praying? I'm asking that the Spirit of God would enlighten you. And so there is this revelation that what is so about you may not be apparent to you, and you need help by the Spirit of God, that your hearts would be enlightened so you can see it. It's mine. It's mine. So we don't have to deny that there is something that has to happen. But we start with this. It has been done. It has been given. And now Holy Spirit has come to help me lay hold of it. Okay? So I'll start there. I would like you to go to Galatians chapter 6. Now, I'm a little bit reluctant to read this because the context of this is how you respond to those who are, teaching and in charge of the administration of the church and the running of it. And my reluctance in reading that is not my point today. Okay, I am not reading this because somehow I need you to change how you react to me. That is not my point here. What I'm after is this principle of sowing and reaping. Okay, so I am using this slightly out of context, but I am not going against the principle. I contend I'm not going against the principle that is here. If you have trouble with it, please come and see me. Okay, none of this is to be treated as if Titus has said it, therefore it must be so. Okay? My expectation is I say something and then you act like the Bereans. Okay? You go and see, is that really so? Okay? I am not interested in either violating your conscience. You have to believe what I say, regardless of what you think. And I have no illusion that I have some magical voice that makes things happen. What will change your life is you getting involved with what God says through whoever it is. You getting involved with God in it, that will change your life. And that's what we're after, okay? So, with that as my introduction here, in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6, it says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. I'm not asking you to do anything for me, okay? Please do not misunderstand my purpose here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Again, I recognize that there is a particular context that verse is in, but I want to take the principle and work with it. Okay, so here we are at the end of 2019. We are the blessed. We who have believed into Jesus, we are the blessed. Okay? But there is a work to be done. We are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. It's not the case, as we've considered over and over and over, it is not the case that what God wants automatically happens. Okay? I will say it again. The will of God does not automatically come to pass. It must be worked. Okay? Now, I'm speaking in specific context. There is a broader context. There are certain things that it doesn't matter what you and I do, they're going to come to pass. Okay? But when it comes to the salvation of God working out in your life, you are required to participate. It is not the case that because of the grace of God upon you, you just sit back, it doesn't matter what you say yes to, what you say no to, God just fills your life with blessing. You must stand against that notion. Okay? Grace does not mean he overrules you. It cannot mean that. Because salvation is not about circumstance. Okay? Of course, our circumstances need to be affected. You know, if God says, by his wounds, I am healed, and I live my whole life as being sick as my circumstance, that is not what God wants. So I don't deny that circumstance has to be affected. But salvation is about something far more eternal than your current circumstance. Okay? He is after your heart agreeing with him, from which every good thing can flow into your life. So that cannot be overruled. He cannot just snap your fingers and make you agree with him. He is not after puppets. Okay? If puppetry was what he was after, there would be no fall. We would not be where we are. We are where we are at because of the choices people have made. And so God is after you from the heart choosing what he says. So that cannot be overruled. It requires your participation. I wish, and I've told you this before, I wish sometimes he would just overrule me. I'm so thick-headed about some things, it just seems it's never going to work. Just think, snap your fingers. And he won't. He won't. He won't. Because he's after something far more precious than just your circumstance being more comfortable. He really is. Okay? Here we are at 2019, and we are the blessed. That means everything pertaining to life and godliness is ours in Jesus. Everything that we need to navigate this place successfully, all the health, all the wealth, all the wisdom, all the insight, the courage, the strength, it's all ours in Jesus. It is ours. But how will we see it manifest in your life? I want you to play a mind game with me here. Not a, really a game. Okay, 2020 is coming. We're at the very beginning of it. What do you want your life to look like at the end of 2020? Okay, now, you can run away with this. Well, I want to be sitting on a beach in Hawaii for the rest of my days. Okay, it does apply to that kind of thing, what I'm about to talk to you, but I'm also actually specifically talking in the context of salvation. Okay? Each one of us is at a different place in terms of how salvation has worked out. Some of us find it far easier to receive healing than others. Okay? Some of us have had extraordinary encounters with God whereby we met with the power of God and we were healed. Okay? Some of us don't have such an easy time. Some of us have no problem talking to people about Jesus. It's just like a sponge soaks up water. We're talking about Jesus. Others, not so much. Okay? I'm talking in that kind of context. I'm all in favor of you sitting on a beach in Hawaii. Maybe the Lord will make a way for the whole church to go to Hawaii at the end of the year. I'm all for that. No problem. But I actually want something more than that. Okay? So as you consider, take just 1 or 2 minutes here. What do you want to see God help you with in this year? Let me phrase that question differently. What do you want your life to look like in whatever area is of concern to you, be it healing, be it finances, be it the self-image that you have, and I don't like that term, but nevertheless, that self-image that you have, how do you want it to be at the end of 2020? Okay, take a moment, just think about it. I'll have a drink from my coffee. Take a moment, but you know what? You're going to have to do this on your own sometime in the next few days. Take some time just to quietly think, what do I want to see? What do I want to see? What do I want to see? I'll give you an example. I want to be far more effective in ministering healing. You know, I find myself opposed in it. And I'm so thankful that I'm surrounded by people who aren't so easily opposed. And I think it's got more to do with how I think about things. But I know it is the will of God that healing flow through me to others. Okay? Jesus used healing as a way to get people's attention, if you'd like. Hey, this is what the kingdom of God means. That you are not left broken. That you are not left damaged. But that God himself, because he is allowed to come into the scene, fixes things, repairs things, restores things, repairs things. We considered the book of Ruth just a little while ago. What effect a redeemer has on a completely destitute life. And that should fill you with such courage about whatever circumstance is going on. This is what the Redeemer is like. And the Redeemer has redeemed me. Okay? So, I'm going to say it now, but just to get your mind thinking about it. But in these next few days, take a little bit of time, whatever time you need, like 10, 20, 30 minutes, set it aside and say, and talk to the Lord, here's what I want to see happen in this coming year. Here's what I want to see happen. Sometimes when we leave our expectations in the realm of just a hope, it doesn't push us to actually begin to believe actively. You know, there's a difference between one day I will be healed, and tomorrow I'll be healed. Do you see what I'm saying? The tomorrow I'll be healed is far more challenging, at least if you're me, than one day. The one day leaves it in the realm of hope. Tomorrow puts it in the realm of believing, faith. Okay, I just made that up. I'm not telling you to. That's what you need to be. But I wanted to give you an example. The moment that we start to identify and draw a line in the sand, it puts us in the place to recognize, okay, this is what I need to be working towards. Okay? Now, I understand and I completely sympathize with the challenge of that in some things. You know, especially for people like us, it's not most of the people here, I mean, I don't know everybody, but most of the people here, it's not like you got saved yesterday and you've had next to no experience with the salvation of God in your life. Some of us have, as I said, have had powerful testimonies in their life. And then something else comes along, and you're trying to break through, and you haven't broken through. And you think, oh, it's going to be easy. It's going to be after what I've experienced, it'll be next week. And next week comes, and nothing happens. And so we end up in this place where we know what we're supposed to have, but it's not happening. And so in that kind of context, it becomes very challenging to draw a line. Well, I've been drawing lines all this time, and it makes no difference. And this is part of a subtle scheme that adversary uses against you. I want to remind you that your adversary, the devil, is not an idiot. He's insane, but he's not an idiot. Okay? And by that, what I mean is he is extraordinarily crafty. How does he get so good at deceiving people? It's not like he has a superpower. It's just that he has had, as I've said to you before, generation after 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 generation, ... experience studying us. Have you ever been doing something and all of a sudden this weird and wacky thought comes into your head and you have a reaction to it? You know what that was? The devil fishing. How will he react? I'll have to save that one. He's been studying us. He knows exactly what buttons to push with you, to discourage you, to see to it that instead of actively pressing into this faith that we've been given, I have all the right words, I have all the right doctrine, I have all the right theology, but I don't have the action. I'm discouraged in heart. I'm afraid to expect again. Okay? And if we're not careful, what happens is our lack of success is more defining to us than what God has said about us. Okay? I don't, most of you know me. It's no secret that the fullness of the blessing of God is not yet manifesting in my life. Certainly part of it is, but it's not like I'm walking in everything that Jesus said already. But does that mean that's because, well, God doesn't want it for you? You're just an idiot? Don't answer the last one. What is it? See, we can, instead of being defined by, I am the blessed, I am the guy who's really trying to get healed but not getting through. I am the guy who wants other people to be healed, but anytime he lays his hands on people, they die. I am the guy. Now, of course, I don't stand up and say that's who I am. But by the scheming of the devil, internally, I begin to be defined by what I don't have, what I've failed at, what I'm not successful at. And this is all crafty scheming. It's not because you're particularly dense. It's just because you're hated. And the devil, he has lost, but that doesn't mean he's given up. He works furiously against us. And then, therefore, we have to be even more so, pushing furiously against him. Okay, so that's why I wanted to say what I wanted to say to you. Take some time in this coming week to sit and think, what do you want to see in your spiritual life in the next time? I hope it's something like, I want this episode to be done with. Okay, we have brethren who are facing serious sentences against their health. May we be stirred to say, okay, this is the year that that's done with. They are completely healed and they're walking out of it, right? but may they especially be steered. So whatever it might be in your life, I'm always having trouble with this. I can't seem to break through this. Whatever is the area of your life that God has been putting his finger on, that is of concern to you. Okay? Like if you never think about walking on water, don't come back next week and say, you know what, this is the year I'm going to walk on water. Okay? I wouldn't say no to that, but I'm actually asking about things that are more relevant to your life. I'm not sure that anybody here has been held back because they couldn't walk on water. It is available to us. I cannot deny it. Jesus did it, right? If Jesus did it, it's possible for us. How do I say that? Greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. Okay, now, of course, I know you can run and make all sorts of extremes with that. Well, don't. The principle is there. Jesus demonstrated what was possible for a person who believed God. Okay? So what is the point of wanting to walk on water this year when the rest of your life is completely a mess? Okay, so I'm asking you to think about this practically. Here's the area of my life that I know God is interested in dealing with. It's not usually that hard to identify. Okay? It's what takes up all our energy, or much of our energy in our day-to-day walking. It is the thing that we worry about, though we deny we worry, because we know that worrying is not what Christians are supposed to do. Okay? What is the area of your life that you want to see the blessing that is already yours manifest in? And then I want to ask you this question. What do you have to sow to get it? Okay? Because at the end of the day, the principle of sowing and reaping is essential for us. We cannot reap a harvest we did not sow. When it comes to this context, okay, there is a context where, for example, we talk to somebody about the Lord. You know, you're sitting here having your coffee. Some person sits down next to you, sees that you're reading your Bible, say, hey, how do I get saved? That is not the typical experience, right? But if that happens, it's usually because somebody else sowed into that person's life the gospel, and you just happened to be the person who was there to reap. Okay? So in that context, of course, it's possible to reap something you didn't sow. But in the context of how salvation is unfolding in your life, you cannot separate your experience from what you've been reaping and sowing. Right? So, let's be deliberate about this. Okay, everything is mine in Jesus. It's not mine because I deserve it, because I don't. Okay? I do not have to be concerned about whether I deserve it. We already know the answer to that. Okay? I don't. Okay? So we're done with that. But it's still mine. Okay? As we've been considering, when it comes to baptism, when it comes to covenant, he has married me. And what is mine, he took. And what is his, he's given. So I don't deserve it. It's not like I deserve it. It's not like this is a marriage of equals, but nevertheless, it is a marriage. And what is his is mine. So, I have the right to this, not because I deserve it. Okay? So what do I then need to sow? Because without sowing, why do you expect to reap? This is the handiwork of the devil, to get you to expect something that you really have no practical right to expect. You know, I want to be a person who just moves with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to spend any time reading the Word. It's just supposed to happen. Why? Well, because I heard other people are like that. They just move with the Holy Spirit. Okay, whatever anybody else is doing, leave that aside. For you, if you do not sow the Word into your life, how are you going to reap the Word's benefit? How? So this is why I'm asking you, what is your goal? What do you need to sow? Okay? It is going to always involve the Word. I'm not saying anything else of that. It could require you to begin every day by stating in front of the mirror what God has said about this circumstance. If you're anything like me, I'm very susceptible to being satisfied with information about a circumstance. I'm very susceptible to that. As long as I can figure out why this is not working, it's almost like that's good enough. And I get tricked into thinking, yeah, but that's not good enough. I want the thing to work. It's not good enough that I know why people aren't getting healed. I want them healed. Well, that might require a sowing of the Word into your life. And I don't just mean being more informed, but taking it and putting it in your mouth and declaring it to yourself. How does faith come? It comes by excellent learning, right? It comes by hearing. and hearing by the word of Christ. We don't have time now, but I will contend that that is not merely saying you can't know what God is doing if you don't hear about him. Okay? He's saying there's something beyond information that causes life to come. And that thing comes by hearing the word of God. So where you find yourself inadequate in terms of expecting God, the thing to do is not say, oh, well, some people move in this and other people don't. It's not to do that. It is to sow. Okay, it is not enough that I am informed about this. I agree, I acknowledge, I understand, I can explain to somebody else. I now need to sow this. So every morning I stand up and say, by the stripes that Jesus bore, Titus, you have been healed. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak to this area of my body, this area of my body, this area of my body, you have been healed. Amen. And I don't look for my feelings. I don't look and say, oh, no, it's still there. I don't. I just keep sowing. I just keep sowing. What I want to connect, what I want you to perceive is, it is possible to get somewhere, but it requires us to sow. And I don't want us to be naive and stay in the realm of, well, somehow God works in mysterious ways. There is this secret notion I will confess to. I don't know whether you can or not. I just sometimes just hope, somehow it'll all work out. And, you know, God in his kindness, I think oftentimes does, you know, help us along even though we don't really deserve it. And that can sometimes fool us into thinking that's how he always is. It's not. He is after your heart. He is after your worship. But by that, I don't mean praising him more with songs. I mean, he is after your heart so caught up with the goodness of God that you are fully expecting what he said to come to pass. And you have come to that place by sowing his word. The word of God is not merely information. I'm going to say something that I don't think anybody here will disagree, but I do ask you to embrace it even more. It is a gift. The word of God is a gift to you to save you. I send my word and I heal you. Everything God does comes by that word. So again, I'll say to you, where do you want to be in 2020? And be as ambitious as you want, but be also as practical as you need to be. Okay? I'm so tired of this being a problem in my life. I want to break through here. This is where I want to break through. I'm so tired of being terrified of talking to somebody about the Lord. That's where I want to break through. And it can be more than one. I'm fine. All I want you to do is connect an outcome with, I need to sow. I need to sow. I need to sow. And as it says here, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Can you see one of the schemes of our adversary is to work in such a way that you grow weary. And I don't know where you're all at, but it is quite possible that you are weary of doing good, i.e. holding on to something, standing firm for something, trying to break through but not seeing it. And so you're weary. Now, it's not the kind of weariness you say, you know what, I just give up on God. There are people like that. But I don't expect that of anybody in here. But that doesn't mean that that weariness doesn't have an effect. And so to end, I just want us to stand together and we'll just present ourselves to the Lord and ask him to wash us of any place where we have become weary. And you know that better than I would. It's not like I'm seeing, I have x-ray vision on and he's giving me a word of insight and say, oh, you need to, no. You know where you're at. I ask you to say to the Lord, cleanse me from every place where I have become weary. Touch me there and reset me. I'm also asking you to be willing to repent. Because weariness is not possible without some participation on your side. Okay? Now, I say that without any accusation. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing. I'm in the same boat as you. But we need to recognize, if there is some way that the devil is reaching in, I don't want that anymore. That has to be shut off. And I want you to do that. And sometimes that means repent. I don't mean grovel in the ground and say, yes, I am that terrible person. Oh, I just don't believe. I'm not talking about that. Repent simply means change course. Having acknowledged and confessed this is the wrong course, change course. Okay? Don't get caught up in, yes, I'm just not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. We're already past that. You're not worthy. Everybody say it with, together with me. I am not worthy. Say it with me. I am not worthy. And now say this. So what? So what? Okay? Do not let that be the thing that the devil uses to hold you back. We're not worthy. Agreed. But Father, you mean for me to have this. You mean for me to have this. I want it. I want it. I want it. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to justify myself before you as to why this has not worked. None of it matters. Because you have released me from my sins. You have forgiven me. The blood of Jesus is speaking better things about me than he should not have it. He deserves this. That's not what it's saying. So in view of that, let me step forward into 2020 in faith. Let me say, this is what I want. And I challenge you to name it. Okay, not to me. Take a piece of paper. Write it down. Okay? Put the date on the top. Write it down and then put it away. Like, I don't mean throw it away. I mean, like, keep it somewhere so it doesn't just disappear. If your desk is anything like mine, it will get eaten. Put it somewhere that you can refer to. This is what I am after. And then think through, what do I need to sow? And the Holy Spirit wants to help you. Okay? This is not a, let me show the Holy Spirit how much I really want this. And so I'm just going to show him and work and work and work. And then finally, he'll let me have it. Because then I will deserve it, is what is underneath that thought. Throw away the idea of deserving it. You don't. You don't. We are just building ourselves up to receive what has been given. You know, he tells the Ephesians, you are blessed, so I'm praying. You see the connection? You are blessed. This is yours. You just don't see it yet. So I'm praying. So pray the same for yourself. Pray the same for me. Pray the same for those that are sitting around you. Father, we just ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to come and enlighten our hearts. We know things that we are not yet having. And so I ask you to help us in this coming year. Each of my brothers and sisters, give them the thing that they are in need of inside that allows them to connect with what you have done. Because this is your will for us. This is your will for us. I am sowing. And so I expect to reap. I expect to reap. If you do not sow, you should not expect to reap. Okay? Let's not be stupid. Okay? You can't, like, if you came to my house, I have this garden outside. You see me watering it. Next day you come, you see me watering it. A week later, you see me watering it. At the end of the season, I'm still watering and there's nothing there. And you're thinking, hey, what's going on here? I have no idea. Well, what did you plant? Nothing. Well, why are you watering it then? Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do with the garden? Yeah, but you have to sow first. You've got to put something in the ground if you're going to expect to reap something. The same principle applies in the Spirit. Okay? But not from the perspective of earning it or accomplishing it. It is from the perspective of receiving what has been done. If I do not sow, I will not reap. But if I do sow and I'm persistent, I will reap. We have God's promise. Whatever it is that has been pushing you back, it is not God's will that it succeed. It is not God's will that it succeed. Okay? God does not back it. God is not backing the weapons that are formed against you. It is not right that they prosper. God has no purpose in it. So you and I are learning what it means to be the sons and daughters of God and enforcing the victory that Jesus won in every area of our life. But we're doing it practically. Instead of, it's all done, this is the area where I expect breakthrough this year. Or these areas I expect breakthrough this year. And that's all personal, right? But it is also collective. Because if you break through in this area, I'm helped. Even though that might not be the area I was focusing on. Tell me you are not helped when somebody says, God healed me. Right? I mean, it's a strength for all of us. And it makes me aware that can be for me too. So let's do this. Let's practically sow in this year. Identify what it is that you want to see change, breakthrough in, and then recognize, what do I need to sow? And if you don't know, it might just start with, well, let me find the verse that has to do with this. Because if you're expecting something that God has not offered, you're wasting your time. But if you have a verse that shows this is the inheritance of the sons and daughters of God, then you are not wasting your time sowing. You are not. Father, in Jesus' name, just stand with me. Father, in Jesus' name, by that precious blood, we stand before you and offer ourselves again. I just ask you, Father, for myself first, but for every one of us standing before you, and those who are part of our church who aren't here today, we just present ourselves and ask you in this coming year. I want to acknowledge, Father, that it is a gift from you this year that we have, and so we want to start by giving it back to you. And we want to see your will being done in each of our lives and our lives collectively. And I just ask you for help, Father, where we have become weary in doing good, where there is some kind of breakdown in our courage and our expectation, please heal us there. Put your finger on it and grant us that grace to repent so that we don't keep the door open for our adversary. But there, Father, I thank you that you intend a repair. You intend a recovery. We look ahead to 2020 and declare in the name of Jesus, this is a year of breakthrough for us individually and us as a church. It is a year of breakthrough and fruitfulness. The things that have been pursued will come to pass as a basis for us to press into even more in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to forgive us for every place where our failure has spoken more loudly to us than what you have offered, and we have allowed our failure to hold us back in some way. Please cleanse us there, Father. Please cleanse us there. Cleanse us there and deliver us there and strengthen us by your Spirit. We are asking for that Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit, to come and so affect us that in these areas where we are in need of breakthrough, we are breaking through, Father, in Jesus' name. We acknowledge our responsibility to sow, that it is not about simply waiting around, but we need to sow if we're going to reap. And I just ask you to help each one of us in this matter. Father, we may be out of practice, we may be out of expectation here, but we just ask you to help us. You mean for every one of us to break through into the better things of God, and this is what we want. And so I just thank you, Father, for recovery. I thank you for restoration. I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you, Father, for fruitfulness at a level beyond what we can imagine. Father, above all, I ask that you would help each one of us grow in our intimacy with you, that we carry with us the sense that God is my friend. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit. If you have something you want to share and add or pray, please do so. Let the Holy Spirit help you. For the weakest of us to the strongest of us, we call on you. For the youngest of us to the oldest of us, we expect that you would help us, Father. And I just thank you for it. I just thank you for it. Father, help us to identify the things that we should set as our objectives in this coming year. And then help us, Father, with the discipline, with the sowing, with the practice of it, that we see what you say come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time. Thank you for hearing me.